We are up to page 81. Reish Tamach Beis, Sif Katan Yud Ches. Okay, everyone got it? Page 81. Reish Samach Beis Yud Ches. We are in the middle of the laws of Bris Milah. We are discussing the halacha of a baby that is born Bein Hashmashos. A baby that is born Bein Hashmashos after sunset, before the stars come out.
Is a doctor have any field, let's say, to be the Zaris, a child that should be born Bein Hashmashos, where Shabbos?
No. Natural.
To mess with
Mother Nature. Exactly. People do it all the time today. The secular world, they have induced labor.
Especially when they want to be the first kid born in the year. Or they
won't have a Sunday bris. Okay, so it's very common for. And I've been told that in the secular world that people arrange when they're going to give birth. It's also...
Yeah, we had this, that people were
some people hold this even healthier.
Right.
That's the Haftorah, right? In Echanami, the Gemara says, how many days are there in earlier times? How many days? There's exactly 9 months. And if a woman will conceive, a person knows that if his wife will conceive on this day, it means that the baby will be born on Shabbos. And that means there'll be Chil Shabbos, the Bris Milah. So men would hold back, would refrain from being with their wives on specific days, knowing that it may result in a Bris Milah on Shabbos. And that was considered to be a Milah. That was considered to be a very good thing, that a person should be on Shabbos. Obviously that's not true, Bizman Hazeb, because there's absolutely no, you cannot predict when it's going to happen. No one has a perfect, no one can perfectly calculate exactly when the baby will be born from the time of conception, so that it's not applied Bizman Hazeb. But it absolutely, there's no such thing as going and telling a woman, trying to do something medically to a woman, that she should not give birth on Shabbos. In fact, a lot of the Rabbanim today are very upset with women who have induced labor for no medical reason, because they want to have a Sunday bris, or they just for whatever reason, they have all other reasons why they want to do it, because they say that you're taking away from the mazel of the child. Every child, when the time when they're born, we don't know how this works, has a certain mazel, success in life, a natural disposition to be successful. And you're going to alter, you're going to manipulate that mazel, you're looking for trouble. Okay, then they say, okay, so let's someone mentioned this yesterday. What happens if a person makes an early Shabbos? It's Erev Shabbos. It's an hour before sunset and it's Mekabel Shabbos. Now, that means, for me, it's already Shabbos. And 5 minutes after your Mekabel Shabbos, his man's wife goes into labor. But yet it's still an hour before sunset. Does that mean that in halacha the baby is considered to be born on Shabbos to the degree when we can make a bris milah the following Shabbos, mimachal Shabbos? It means absolutely nothing. Just because you were personally makabel Shabbos, it has absolutely no effect on the zman milah for the baby. The ma'inyin zele tefillah, that's absolutely no relation to tefillah v'nir da'afilu im kibla Shabbos, the makabel Shabbos, and going shadayin hu yoim gamor. Nechshav l'noilad b'yoim, it's considered the baby was born by day. V'chein lehepech, vice versa. Kish noilad b'Shabbos le'es erev, v'hoye layla, afilo hivdil, if you did not yet make havdalah, it's mitzoy Shabbos, and you did not yet make Havdalah, it's Adai Nechshav Kinoila Belaila, it is considered the baby was born on Sunday, even though you, for you it's still Shabbos. The Afilu Ho'av Ho'im Atzmam Hispalu Kvar Arvis, or Kiblu Shabbos, even if both parents are already on Friday, already Davin Ma'arif, and she lit candles, Oilo Hivdilu, or the vice versa, Mitzoy Shabbos, Adai Nikomokam Zman Milo Hu Liyoim Belaila, Kefi Habriya. The determination for Bris Milah depends upon the calendar date. Barak B'Safik, the only time we're going to the Bris Milah is when the baby is born Bein HaShemashos. K'moy Bein HaShemashos, Oy K'mashakasa, Mikoydem B'Hekroch, L'Hachmir. In other situations, when we do not know when the baby was born, we do not know when it came out, Loim Ibnei Ma'asav Shal Odom, not because of a person's actions. The Gamzen Shenispar B'Koychavim Ketanim Hu B'Bnei Safik Bein HaShemashos. Also, when we discuss the small stars, that's a Safik, Avol Kishaniru Gimel Beinonim. But when we have three medium-sized stars, yachts on the klal savik bein hashmashos. Period. The din bein hashmashos is barbus simin reish samach vav. We're going to learn more about bein hashmashos and simin reish samach vav. Okay, so far, what do we have over here? Davar is very simple: is that the determination of the day of Mila depends on the calendar date. Does not depend upon if you were Mekabel in early Shabbos or if you have delayed in reciting Havdalah Mitzvah Shabbos. That does not have any effect on when the 8 days are calculated for the Bris Mila. Vida, Shereisi b'Sfarim sheneschabu al dinei Mila. I saw in some new Sfarim that were written on the laws of Mila sheneschabu be'eze prate machlois im nikru machlois la'akiv ha'mila a'idezeh. What type of diseases, what type of illnesses are the illnesses which we have to wait an additional 7 days? We learned before that if you have an illness called aguf, you have to wait 7 days from the time the baby is healed. And today, there are a lot of different types of diseases. And what exactly are the ones that fit in this category? Something to do with his testicles. Okay, the testicles have been opened. Says, I'm not a doctor, but to me it's a davar pashut. If something is wrong, if something is not right, the baby is not 100%, you do not do a bris mila. And if you have a safek, if the baby is sick, like a fever, then ask a doctor. Yishalu l'roife, shrei anu samech ma'al ha'roifeim b'chilu Shabbos v'lecha b'yom ha'kippurim v'im ein kan roife. We rely upon them with regard to eating on Yom Kippur, with regard to Chilu Shabbos. They will make the determination if the baby is sick b'chol gufay, and that will require us to wait 7 complete days, me'eis l'eis, from the moment the baby is healed. V'yetzleinu ha'visafik o'yisafik o'yisafik, we'll have to wait. O'y shagam l'roife yesh safik ha'lochol b'ru the safik l'fash l'hagel o'mam hinan zayin ya me'eis l'eis. And if the doctor doesn't know, the doctor is not certain, so also you have to wait 7 days misafik. Mishnas Rapei, 7 days. Me'eis l'eis Mishnas Rapei. V'chein ma'moil kishnas par eiz apratim b'zez soif nitzarech lishol b'roifim. You have to go ask the doctors. They will make the decision. So let's review the basic halachas. A baby has a maka on one limb. It's not the entire body. So we have then that as long as the baby is not feeling well, there's a maka on one limb. The bris mila is postponed until the baby is 100% healthy. But once the baby is healthy, let's say the baby had a mark on the hand, and then before and right and day 7 the baby is healed, you're good to go. On day 8, first thing in the morning, you can do the bris mila. But if the baby has a fever, or the baby has other type of marker that was nispashet b'chol gufoy, we have to wait until the baby is healed. From the moment the baby is healed, we have to wait 7 days. Me'ace le'ace. The baby was healed 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to wait 7 days until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that moment is the first possible moment when you can do the bris mila. Reish samach gimel yelet yoroik oy odoim umi shemesoy bonav machmas mila v'din noilat kishu mohol v'tinoik shemes koydim hamila uboich chai sivim. All the various scenarios of complications. Baby is green or red. Dr. Fruchter, what's the difference between green and red? Green is the kidneys. Yeah, yeah.
Usually,
it's green.
With adults, yeah. The jaundice, the longer the jaundice persists, it actually turns more green.
Green. And a baby?
Babies, they turn green.
What color are babies? They say yellow. So what about red? Where does red come from? You don't know.
Fever,
okay.
Can make you red.
Red?
If you have flushed cheeks, if you have feverish, you can be red.
Let's see. Im hatinok yoroik, be'eze yarkois. Any type of discoloration. Shuhu im kichelmoin. Beitza, the yolk. The yolk of an egg, oika asavim, or green, or like grass, green like grass, oika rikia, like the sky. Any shade of yorok. Yellow, green, or the rakia. I don't know what color is the rakia. Is blue, right? Yorok is a bluish type of color. Simenu shelo nafal voidama. That means that the blood is not circulating properly, or the blood is not being cleaned. The kidneys are not properly performing the function of cleaning the blood. Adain the ein melno so, and therefore you do delay the mila ad sheyipol voidama until the blood. It's called yipol, until the blood falls into place, which we know to mean, that was correct, that the kidneys are functioning 100%. Right? The discoloration of the jaundice is when the kidneys are not. Is that correct? They didn't kick in yet? Is that what it means?
It's the liver.
It's the liver. It's not the liver. Okay, it's not functioning. The yachsar mareu kishor hakatanim, until the color appears like all of the children, the kishaloi ba boy hadam, until the liver is functioning properly, the baby is weak. He does not have koyach to withstand the pain of mila. And he will quickly get weak and die. If the baby is red, you know what this means? The blood is circulating properly, but it's not moving. It's there. The blood is there, but it's stuck between the skin and the body. Whatever that means. And that's a sign that if you do bris milah, he'll bleed out. He'll bleed out. It's sakana. It's not clotting. The blood is not clotting. Until the blood is absorbed in his limbs. If the baby dies, there's no way to bring the baby back to life. The baby doesn't have a bris milah today, he can have it tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. So better safe than sorry. You can do the bris milah immediately. The baby is jaundiced, and then the numbers come down. You can do the baby bris milah immediately. You do not have to wait 7 days. You do not need to wait 7 days. Even though the condition of being jaundiced is something which spreads throughout the entire body. The blood spreads throughout the entire body. It doesn't matter. This is an exception. That's not called a chayli. That's the way it is. That's the way children develop. That's the derech of a child. When they're born, they have some type of color discoloration. It's a bluish complexion. A day or two, a gimel, period. It takes time until the blood, until all the organs begin to start up. And that's why the babies look a little bit different. And if this baby is still not yet 100% on the 8th day, period. Avol miyakish novel by Adam. Ha'areyu barwi kechol habliim, period. V'chei mash, v'mistimas loshna paiskim, v'yesim loshna gemor, sham ch'omar baya, lahamtin, ad sheyipol boy hadam. V'yomorlu oso ayin sham. V'yi sal kadayetach, d'mi'i d'boy zayin yom, ha'lil mamar l'kein, shiv sem digmor, wait 7 days, v'chein nifor, t'ma'ani al, I am shak, al eizem ha'gedoylim, sheroitzim l'hachmir lahamtin, zayin yom, achakach kemoy, shiv isti l'echa min ha'mechabrim. One of the popular sefarim that I have about bris milah writes, he wants to suggest that if a baby is jaundice, am I saying that the right way? Jaundice, the bilirubin count is not where it should be, and then the numbers come down to the right where they should be. Okay, we now have to first wait 7 days, may ace la ace, because this is a choli that is nispashik b'chol haguf. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, I saw a machaber say such a thing. I have a sefer on bris milah, and it says such a halacha, and I disagree. I'm telling you, there's no such thing. That's not incorrect. This is natural. It's natural for a child that's born to have a discoloration, and it takes time for the color to return. But it's not in the category of a choli that is nispashik b'chol haguf, and you do not need to wait 8 days. You can do the bris milah immediately when the baby is okay.
This is how we hold now.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. You've never heard of a case where you have to wait 8 days for a baby that's jaundiced. Never. Never heard.
Why
at least.
Bring the source that he totally disagrees with.
He wants to make sure you don't make that mistake. He wants to discredit it. He wants to emphasize it, to discredit it, because if he's not going to explicitly say, maybe you'll find people, this mechaber was getting away with it. He seems to say he's a choshe mechaber, and he's saying over here, he writes over here, I don't know, I have no idea what these Rashi tables stand for, but he seems over here to be saying where you can find such a chiddush. V'rabim v'ra'udvarim t'muim heim. I'm telling you that these are shocking words. According to this, all babies or many babies are jaundiced on day 3 or 4. And that means you'll very rarely have a case where a baby will have bris mila b'yom ches. It'll be almost impossible. And that's not mistaver. Ki mi'uta de bi'uta shehipol b'chem adam b'yom rishon l'lidasai. It's very rare for a baby for the blood to be perfect on the first day, the day when the baby is born. It always takes time for the blood to settle down, at least in his time. I don't know what the doctors say today, but at least in his time, if you want to go follow these rules, the baby, you'll have to monitor when the baby is jaundiced for the first 8 days. And you're going to have to start the bris mila 8 days after the baby's numbers are okay, which will invariably mean that you'll almost never have a bris mila on the 8th. They will always be the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, until things are okay. Gimel, v'da, v'zer shekosavnu she'en zecholi zehu kifi hanira miloshen ha'tur v'shochonoch v'chei nira miloshen ha'shas. V'rashi v'haran, shekosu sh'loi noitzah b'yadayim dam ayin sham. Aval, loshen ha'rambam, b'perkal din ziyudzayin kotin sh'nimsa b'shmini shaloi yoroik b'yoyser v'chei nimhoya odoim b'yoyser k'moyshet sovo yoyser. If a baby is very red and it looks like they painted him red. The terminology that the Rambam uses is the word a machala, which would seem to indicate that the Rambam indeed holds that being jaundice is a choili that's nispashet b'chol haguf and does require 8 days. And he adds more language, which would seem to indicate that this is the case. Ha'omnam, but you should know, even though the words of the Rambam taken at face value may be misleading, you should know the truth is, Gam Rambam, the Rambam really holds that it's not a chayli. And this, that his words are misleading, there are different shades of green and red. If it's a light green, a light red, that's natural. And therefore, that's not a choli, that's nispashet b'chol hagof. But if it's a very intense red, a very intense green, then there's something really wrong. And if something really wrong, indeed, you have to wait 7 days. We see people that have a certain complexion. That's why the Rambam wrote b'yoser, to the extreme. Kloimar, that's why it's called cholam. That's not normal. He explains as if you painted him. You took some red paint and painted the baby. There are many shades of red. Therefore, toyar b'tzvias dam. That's why the example that was given was a dam that's extremely red, to the point where it looks like you took paint and put paint on the baby. But in the regular case, when the baby has jaundice, you do not need to wait 7 days. That's the bottom line. So he says over another chiddush. So first of all, before we go further, he makes it clear as day that a baby that has jaundice, the bottom line is you do not need to wait 7 complete days, period. Now he says another chiddush. The baby looks good. It's the right color. But there's one limb. His leg is a little too red. Or his leg is a little too yellow. But the whole body is good. So what does that mean? What's up with that? Why is one limb discolored? So do we go bust with most of the body, or we look at the one limb? So he says, if even one limb is discolored, that's a warning sign. That's already enough not to do the bris mila. We delay. More colors. Let's say the baby is white. We see the baby is extremely weak. It's not natural. They did not tie the navel cord properly. Let's say there's bleeding coming out of the navel. Dr. Vuch, and such thing like that? Bleeding comes from the navel, yeah? Is such a thing like that?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it's very unusual, yeah.
Ma'akvenes hamila ad sheyischazei karoi, until the baby is 100% v'cheinim in b'yolchosel li'inak min adad. Another chiddush, if the baby is not nursing, okay, the baby is not eating well. The baby is not eating well. Ma'akvenes ad sheyaschil li'noik, until the baby begins to nurse. V'chein kol kayoyse bezel lefi ro'os enei b'nei adam. That's a very interesting thing. The baby is not eating. So the baby may seem fine, all the numbers are good, but the baby refuses to eat. So that means don't do the bris milah. All of these things you got to ask the real professionals, the mo'alim, the real people who really know their stuff. They'll have all the experience of telling you all of these stories, all of these halachas. Oy Stalin, Isa.
There must be a Kabbalah also about what.
Kabbalah?
Yeah, by the mo'al, whoever he learned from tells him
what the rules are. But it's very interesting. You have a baby. Think about it. You have a healthy baby. And the baby is just not eating well. Just not eating well. Does refuses to eat. So what do you taka do? So he seems to say, if the baby is not eating well, don't do the bris milah. Even though all the numbers and all of the stats, the criteria are 100%, not necessarily. You have to take into consideration.
What do you call that? When bottom line is, don't do a bris on a distended stomach or something?
I mean, you don't even know it's sick.
And I'm pretty lenient about it.
What when you lean? They do it anyway, the baby's sick.
No, the other way. I mean, I'm not lenient, but
postpone.
They postpone the bris milah. The baby is not 100%. Any small indication there's something wrong, you have to wait. Oystalit. Isa bivamis. Yoma de Eva Sha'anonim Merubim Vyoma de Shusa Shiruach Droimis Minashemis Loi Mahalin Bay. Remember this Gemara Misach Bivamis? A day when it's too cloudy outside. There are thick clouds. No bris milah. Bris milah is cancelled. Or a day when the ruach d'roimis, the southern wind is blowing. You have to check the forecast in the morning. The southern wind is blowing. Loi mahalin bay. Why? Because the environment is not good for the baby. The baby needs some good, fresh, healthy air to breathe after the bris milah is over to assist in its recovery. And if it's a thick, cloudy day, that means the air is not pure. It's not a good ear, so the baby is not. What?
Have you ever seen
it? No, so he writes here, Idna Bizman Hazeh, Darshu by Rabim, I think it's like Doshu. I think there's a mistake over here. There's a mistake in the text.
Oh.
So it means Doshu. Doshu means they triple upon it. Doshu by Rabim. I think it should be Doshu. Alright, Darshu, the Darshan. But expound the principle, Shoymer Pesoyim Hashem. We see today, we do a bris milah regardless of what the weather is, and babies survive. The statistics are, there's no difference between the doing a bris milah on a cloudy day, on a day when the southern wind is blowing, and everything is okay, and therefore we don't follow this halacha of Zman Hazeh. V'chein Isa Shah Mikoidem Dimishum Chulsho De Urcha Keshabah Oyef Min Aderech Loi Mehalinan. We have another principle that in the olden days, that a person is when you're traveling on the road, there's no bris milah. If the baby was traveling or an adult was traveling, and an adult needs a bris milah, you don't do ayin sham b'shum echad me'apayskim loy hevi davar zeh. We don't find this. We don't find this principle that urcha, that if you traveled, the baby traveled, if you traveled, then you should delay the bris milah. This halacha is not cited by any one of the paiskim. Why not? Shoymer Pesoyim Hashem. Hashem watches the fools. The Atam Kevon the Doshu. See here he talk it says the Doshu. Here he says the Doshu. They've trembled upon it. The Doshu, I think it was a mistake of words. It is not maybe just Dosh, not the photocopy is not clear. The Doshu Voirabim, the Tzibur has trembled upon this halacha. You know, they ignore it and they survive. The Gam Chulsho the Urchulo Shaykh Ela Kishoim Holcha Imo Beregel. When the mother walks by foot, dumya de midbar, similar to traveling in the desert, shabi gemara sham bi oid sheim roin the emesh eiz achol shabi atini kavar nespar shaloi yamalu so. But of course, if you know the baby is sick, you don't do a bris milah anyway. Atche yischazik. Period. Omnam hanimuka yosef b'shem haritva kasa v'rish perikah arel b'shem rabbi demand loy boy l'mimal biyomu de'eva harishus biyaday. Ooh, v'shaper ovid deloy l'mismach. Al Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. So if you have a situation where the moel comes to shul and the bris is all set up and you already paid the caterer $5,000 for a lavish bris, and the father takes out his smartphone and it says that the southern wind is blowing today, right? Yeah, it doesn't forecast. It tells you from which direction the wind is blowing, right? Which direction says the southern wind is blowing? We're not having the bris. And the mole says, you're crazy, you're out of your mind. And everyone in the shul says, you're out of your mind. Because your smartphone says the southern wind is blowing, or because it says it's cloudy day, the thick clouds today. So they go to the Rav. And the Rav says, he's right. Even though the tzibur does not care for this halacha, if a person wants to say, I want to be nizar in this halacha, he's within his rights to do so, to push off the bris milah. Isn't that amazing? Are you going to lock him up? No bris milah, but we'll still lock you up. We'll still put you away.
What does his wife say?
Maybe she's the one who's her idea. That's what it says. Harishus b'yaday v'shaper avid l'mitzvach al shoymer p'shoym Hashem. V'hu adin shayu roi sholom ol b'shabes. Shuhu me'unun ad kal l'shoyne en shabes also. It's chil shabes. You can do it. He differentiates. If it's cloudy or there's a southern wind, you can do the bris milah. But if you've been traveling, the baby has been traveling for whatever reason, then in a chanami you should take the Gemara seriously and not do the bris milah when you come back from traveling. The yesh mi shakas ab the kol davish in a begufay shaltinik goin shiroitz a lot is a derech ein mashin is a milah beshiloi ki hechi the loy mashin beshil neshiva saruchas. Some say no, it doesn't make a difference. Traveling is also doesn't make a difference. The baby's been traveling, you can still do the bris milah. Halacha hey. You're not allowed to delay the bris milah so you can travel. So you have a trip, you want to go travel. So therefore, if I'm going to do the bris today, on day 8, I am not going to be able to go on my vacation tomorrow. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow, but I don't want to take an infant who had a bris milah yesterday. I want to give the baby a few days to recover from the bris milah. So therefore, if we're going to do the bris milah today, I'm going to have to cancel my trip to Eretz Yisrael. So you know what the solution is. We won't do the bris milah today. We'll go on our trip tomorrow, and we'll do the bris milah when we get there. Well, when we get there on the next day. You're not allowed to do that. That's ridiculous. You're not allowed to delay bris milah b'shvil lotzei sladerech ela molnoi so. You have to do the bris milah immediately. Do the bris milah today, and you're stuck. Don't you not? It's usur, it's sakana. You're not allowed to take the baby with you on your trip. The baby will get sick. But if you want to take the baby in a wagon, ulai shari, maybe if you're putting take the baby go first class with the baby, maybe that might be okay. Shemunach al makam echad mechusa, he's covered bikarim, says pillows and blankets. Kinahog begam kishehviu minaderech bikaron near the ein kan chulsha. We see this man hazeh that if you travel in style, there's no sakana. V'zed tzarech havonas habikiim. You have to ask the experts. Is it really true that if you travel in style, there's motion? It's a very interesting concept. I think they still don't know this today. They talk about that. I read an article recently about the new airplanes, motion sickness. It was all over the news. That motion sickness, you go on a plane, a 747, the old 747s, they're made from aluminum, and no matter how comfortable the ride is, people get sick. There's a certain adjustment of
like
jet lag,
oxygen. There's not enough air in
the pressure. Because they have to pressurize the plane because of the air in the sky. They have to pressurize the plane to a certain degree. Now they have new planes. They're not made anymore from aluminum. They're made from plastics, fiber,
carbon.
And the nafkamina is, we don't even realize that when they fly 30,000 feet in the air, the pressurization of the airplane is different. It's not the same. That's what it says in the article. They don't pressurize the plane with the same number as they do with the aluminum, the old planes. And that has a major effect on the motion sickness.
You see people at the airport with little boxes of oxygen.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to suffer this, so they have a little thing of oxygen. They take it along.
I always wondered about that. You're going in the sky in first class, 500 miles an hour, 600 miles an hour for 10 hours. It doesn't affect you? It doesn't really affect you? Is that really true? People who travel the world back and forth. And we know the astronauts who went to the people, all of the Apollo missions. So what happened to all these people? So I've heard that they're very sick. They're not going to admit it. People who have gone on the Apollo missions are all suffer from all these crazy things that you wouldn't believe. But they knew anything.
They go for long term muscle problems.
What? Brooklyn College, they had a lab. They had a lab on the and I was there. They had a lab all the way on top where they did work for NASA. They actually did work for NASA, and the things that they were working on were used in the space shuttles. And there was a professor there, he was from, and he used to work on the missions. He told me he had to stop because he had to work on Shabbos. The only way they would let him continue working was he had to be on call Shabbos because of the and he told me about all this, and he says the thing that they're working, they're putting all the resources into is artificial gravity. The biggest problem being in outer space is gravity. The body, you don't realize it, the body needs gravity to function properly. If you go to a higher altitude, you go out of space where there is no gravity, it may look like it's fun and you watch all these people on the screen, they're flying around and all these motion pictures, but the body is suffering enormously because it's not functioning. It's not the way the body was made to function without gravity. The body cannot compensate for the lack of gravity with its muscles. And you do this for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, they get very, very sick. And therefore, the goal is to create... Look, you ever watch Star Trek? How come they're always sitting there? What happened to the gravity?
Gravity.
What? What gravity? They're flying all over the universe. What?
Artificial
gravity. That's the big secret. So there is no such thing as artificial gravity. It doesn't exist such a thing. So the whole Star Trek is a bunch of bum mice. Can't be artificial gravity. So he showed me, I'll tell you what this showed me. He showed me high artificial gravity, so he showed me. It's fascinating what they're working on. The way you create spinning. So that basically means they're trying to create space stations where the floor of the space station is spinning very, very, very quickly. And when it spins very quickly, that creates the artificial gravity. But it makes you very dizzy also. And it's also very dangerous for the body.
They put it on the knee. They don't put it on.
It's very complicated. That's all the science. All the sciences.
Dr. McCoy is a fictional character.
So here he writes. Look what he writes. He writes over here. You got to talk to the big experts.
You know, it's very interesting. They have the chance of everyone. They have every nationality except Palestinian.
Okay, so he writes over here. You have to ask the experts. Okay, the gam kishivu binakaron. We're in the middle of ice hay. We're in the middle of the paragraph near the ein kan chulshav gantzoch havonas. He writes here. You have to ask the experts. The gam tzorich havonas habikim begufa uveparzuv shalatinuk. You got to ask the people who understand these things. Just because you're taking a child, an infant, in a wagon, and you're going first class, and everything seems to be a-okay. There are other factors that you may not realize have a very big effect upon a newborn baby. It's not natural for a person to be in the sky, 30,000 feet above air, to be traveling at 600 miles an hour for 11 hours, even though the food is great and the movie is even better. and the bed, everything is fine. Yeah, it may seem fine, but you really have to know how these things work. If it's healthy for the baby, in fact, as we just said, that on a cloudy day, you're allowed to delay the bris milah. Okay, then he goes back. He goes back. This that we said from the Nebuchad Yosef, the Biyamid, the Aviv, our Shus, Biyamid, Lachim, Amila, the Shemanu, Mizem, the Oilam, we never heard of this, for Harei, Matsim, the Mitam, Shem, Shem, Hashem, Anu, Mekilim, Gam, Bedav, our Shus, Kol, Lachak, Izdam, Biyam, Shabbos. For example, you're allowed to let blood on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, even though Karamim, Mesoy, Perig, Mepan, Kol, Shein, even though normally you're not allowed to do, because you may need Mechal Shabbos. If you go and you let blood Erev Shabbos, that may cause an illness, and you may need to be Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos for Refuah. That's not problem. In the time of Chazal, they let blood Erev Shabbos, or at least in later times, because Shoymer Pesoyim Hashem, the Kol Shechein, certainly when it comes to B'mitzah Rabba D'milah, V'raya L'davah, D'miloy Ishmetu Chad Min HaPoyskim L'Hatzke Zesh Maminah, D'loy Tzaisinan Lay, V'chein HaMinik Pashat V'ein L'shan. So therefore he comes to say that bottom line is we don't pass like the Mukhi Yosef, that if we've come to a Bris Milah, and the father whips out his smartphone and says today's cloudy day, and there's a south wind, and therefore we're canceling the bris because of what it says in the Gemara. So the Rav will tell him you have been, you're taking you away, and we're going to do the bris milah without you.
Didn't because they have Sandy, they had some weddings are canceled and some bris. Must have been
my inyan. But basically, he comes to tell us, you know, it's a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, Beferish, if it's a cloudy day, it's a south wind, you cancel the bris milah. And the Namuka, and even though that's not the custom, the Namuka Yosef says, if the father is an extremist, I don't know what the word, the father is just a nervous person, he's a nervous person, and he wants to use this Gemara to cancel the bris milah, you have no choice but to listen to the father, because that's what it says in the Gemara, and he doesn't want to rely upon Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Aruch HaShulchan says not anymore; those days are gone. Also, even if the father insists on following what it says in the Gemara, he is overruled. Overruled. The bris goes on, and the father has to be silent. Let's do one more. Isha Shemala Bina Rishon Rishon Umes. Let's say a bris milah was done to a baby and the baby died because of the bris milah. Shamila hishkila kaychai, hishkila kaychai, the milah caused the baby to become weak. Umeis machmas hamila kagoyin she'eze yom achar hamila meis. V'cheina sheni, kishmol meis machmas hamila. So already two babies died. Parents, children have two children who died because as a direct result of the bris milah. The halacha. Let's say the doctors, you're right. If you don't know, it might be dead. But let's assume, for the sake of simplicity, even if it's not that, that's not what it says. It doesn't say bleeds. It says weakness. It says the weakness of the milah caused the baby, triggered a reaction in the baby, which caused the baby to die a few days later. And the doctors, the best doctors available, have made this determination. So now they're up to baby number three. What should they do? Halach is lo tamul hashlishi. The third baby does not have a bris milah. Sherehat chuchsuka shebonecha meisimach masamila. There's already a chazaka, two times chazaka. The avagat the chazaka have a gimel pa. Maybe the chazaka is three times, not two times. Mikol makom le'in sakonis nefash pasku chazal d'mishnayim have a chazaka. Ve'in chilik bein sha'ein sha'lodo sa'lahem me'abal echad. Oy shekol vlad hu mi'bal b'fnei atzma. It makes no difference if now the baby, now that she has number three, is from a different husband. Baby one and two was from husband number one. Baby number three is from a different husband. So maybe that should be enough of a reason why we can be mega. We can say, don't worry, it's a different husband, it's a different DNA. And if the baby will survive, no. We have to take into consideration that it's all because of her. And if the first two die, this one will die as well. The health of a child is generally follows the mother. The father gives the white, the red. The Leah Achoiso, look at this. Did you ever hear this? The sister, Rachel's children died because of Mila. The Leah Achoiso, Gamkin Molo Mace Achoison. So they have two sisters. There are three sisters. And two sisters had one apiece. And both of them died. And now the third sister has a baby. The third sister's baby doesn't have a bris milah. Sisters are chazaka one for the other. It's all the same family, the same DNA. Even if their mother had children, then they survived, doesn't matter. We don't take any chances. Just because the two sisters may have brothers that have a bris milah, it does not mean that their children are going to be okay in this situation. We're talking about sisters that can be a chazaka one to the other. They have to be sisters from one mother. Okay, so this is...
What is that, a recessive gene that's called?
Okay, so these are the basic halachas of a child that did not have a bris milah due to sakan. Okay, we'll stop over here with Ozayin, take a short break, and then we'll continue.